We're going to get to this. Jesus is the healer. When you think of healing, what do you think of? What comes to your mind? And we kind of got to move along quickly because we're going to hear at least two testimonies and go outside into some moderately warm water. I mean, Rachel and I and the Robinsons, or excuse me, Robinsons. Oh, how in the world? Robin's son, Spencer. All right, this is Robin. And this is Steve, and they're not the Robinsons. All right, sorry about that. Oh, my goodness. All right, we tried to make it as hot as possible. Love you. All right, great. So, healing, what do you think of? Restoration, outstanding. What else? New life, good. Whole, woo, that's good. What's that? Relief, what'd you say? There's a wound first, okay. Improvement, good. Fit together? Knit together. Oh, that's good. You're getting preachy over here. All right, that's pretty good. So I used to rap, and so I'm going to give you just a tiny little flavor of that. I still do. So check this out on healing. I'm Aaron Day with the mic. You may have the beat. I got four holes in my shirt, but my soul's complete. And so listen to that for a second. We've got holes, and yet we're complete. This is healing. Jesus is the healer. It's an already and not yet. Not everything is perfect here, but Jesus is, and he makes us whole. So let's look at Jesus the healer. We're going to go to Luke 4. I know that we're supposed to be in Luke 7, and indeed, we'll get there. But I want to remind you that he gave out a calling card of who he is and who he was in this healing. And the word healing, it's diasozo, and you could say it in a much better way if you really speak Koine Greek, but there you go. But it means to heal, cure, make well, save, bring safely through. Let me ask you a question. Did the thief on the cross that came to Jesus on the night or the day that he died, did that thief get healed? But he also died, right? I mean, that's kind of a bummer. He died whole. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You are going to die, but you're going to be whole. Listen to what Jesus said. This is Luke 4, and we'll go 17 through 21. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He went into the synagogue, into church. He unrolled the scroll. He found the place where it was written. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. This is different. And he began to say to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. It's been completed in your hearing. It's fulfilled, it's whole. Right here and right now. How could he say that to him? I mean, this teaching's been around at this point for almost 1,000 years. How could Jesus say, this has been fulfilled in your hearing? You just heard this teaching and it's fulfilled. How could he say that? One more time. He is the Word. The source is now present. Hallelujah. The source is present. Anybody like Forrest Gump? You know that Forrest ran with a limp. And he learned how to run really, really well. But that's a picture for us as well, that Jesus being present, forget this. I mean, you're like, did you just call Jesus Forrest Gump? No, I didn't. what I'm saying is that just like Forrest Gump, there's pain and there's agony, and yet you live on. Jesus being present means the source is present, the healing is present. And so many people are like, then why do I still have cancer? Why do I still have MS? Why did my grandmother die? She never did anything wrong. You've got a wrong view of your grandmother. A lofty view, and that probably means a lot. But it's not accurate. And we're about to see this healing that happens from Jesus. And these people say, well, they deserve it. They're worthy of it. Do you know, honestly, if we got what we deserved and what we were worthy of on our own, dear friends, we'd go to hell. We'd be separated from God forever. He wouldn't pay a price for us. He'd destroy us. He didn't give us what we deserved. He gave us what we desperately needed. And some will receive it and some won't. And you and I can walk with the limp and still be made whole. We can have four holes in our shirt, but our soul is complete. The source is here. It's not Aaron Day. It's not Crosswater Community Church. It's Jesus Christ. And he lives. And he always will. So one more thing from Luke 5 before we jump into these wonderful healing stories. Jesus was very clearly about healing. I want to get you to Luke 5, 31 and 32. Just really quick, I didn't mention this. A little boy yesterday at a celebration of life that we had was sitting right in this seat. No, actually, he was in this seat, and he was reading one of these Bibles. And I said, hey, do you want that? And he goes, can I? And then he looks to his mom. I go, that's why they're here. We like people to take them and read them and actually live it out. And his mom goes, well, sure. And I said, does he have a Bible? And she thought that was like a shame question. I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. I'm just like, if he doesn't have one, then please feel free. And so I remind you, these Bibles are here to be read, to be used, to be shared, to be lived out. Or you can look up on the screen. Luke 5, 31 and 32. Jesus answered these people who said, why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? Those who are well, whole, complete, have it all together, have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, and the assumption there in the language is those who are sick need a physician. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to remind you one more time before we jump into this. Jesus heals this man who was a paralytic and his friends dug through the roof. Remember that story and how wonderful that is, and lower him down. And what's the first thing Jesus says to them, to him? You say, boy, you look like your legs hurt. Boy, you look like you need a little help walking. What does Jesus say to this man? Your sins are forgiven. Friends, that's the wholeness that we desperately need. Because this body, as trophy as it is for Kathy, is falling apart. Your body is too. We're not, I mean, we might get better, get it, you know, on keto or eat lettuce or whatever and get to a better spot, pump out some push-ups, I mean, get after it. We're like, I'm, you know, working out. But you're going to fall apart. You might be healed of something someday physically, but you're going to die of something else again, right? Boy, I thought you were getting positive. All right, let's get to the positive part. Your soul's complete in Jesus Christ. And your body will be restored in Jesus Christ. Does he still heal today? Yes. But this ain't all there is. But boy, do we try to hang on to it. Now we'll move on. Look for these four things throughout this whole series. And it's a short series on Jesus the healer. And there's been healing all the way through it already, but we're going to look at some really wonderful stories. But look for healing, compassion, power, and faith. Look for it. It's all over the place. If you're needing to change your clothes, in about 2 minutes would be a good time to leave for that, for being baptized. If you're like, oh, I wasn't planning on it, I brought some shirts. Some would only fit little kids, but I do have an adult-sized shirt there, and I brought extra towels. Wow, was I prepared. Okay. We're going to go to healing, compassion, power, and faith. Look for it. Look for this wholeness. Look for this goodness. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum or Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death. Very, very interesting. He has the centurion, who is a Roman official, about 100 men underneath him, middle management in the army. And yet, he's getting the address. Do you remember that Jesus is for everybody? He doesn't just love Jewish people. He doesn't just love Christian people. He loves everybody. Okay. And so he had a servant or a slave who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. How about Lukman's story just coming back? When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. Let me catch this right. The healing isn't for him, it's for somebody else, right? That's interesting. How motivated are you to have somebody else get better? It's an important question. And so he sends the elders of the Jews. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he's the one who built us our synagogue. Gosh, he's not trying to dominate us as this Roman soldier. He actually loves our nation, and he built our church. If anybody deserves to be listened to, it's him." Does anybody ever have that conversation with God? I mean, I may not deserve it, but she does. I mean, look at all that she's done. Look at all that he's had to go through. He's a good man. He does good things. And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof." Holy smokes. This is humility now. But it gets even deeper. "Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, check this, church, he marveled at him. Two different times you hear Jesus be astonished or marveled, and it has to do with faith. Lack of it and the presence of it. Which way would Jesus be astonished with your faith? This isn't shame question. This is straight up. Where are you at with your faith? Do you recognize that he can do anything? Do you recognize that sometimes he may not do what you ask because he has something else that's going on? So when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and he's turning to the crowd that followed him, and he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Jesus did a long-distance healing. He didn't have to actually be in the room. That's amazing. I'd love to give you more on that, but you know what? We're going to have some baptism, so let that sit with you and know that the servant was well. You know what that word means? Whole, healthy, set free. Jesus loves to heal people. All right, So last one here, we're going to go to this wonderful brief story. Jesus totally interrupts a funeral. Soon afterward, I love this, like Jesus is just on a roll. Maybe some of you might think Benny Hinn, that, you know, there's these healing things and he blows. No, Jesus is just going about his everyday business because Jesus is Lord and Savior. And he comes to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a great crowd went with him. So we got a group of people coming with Jesus, right? We got a great crowd. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Please understand that there's a whole lot you could get into on this, and there's wonderful deep teaching. I encourage you to go and look at it. But she would have been up the creek. A widow, and now her only son gone. In that culture, only the kindness of people who should be kind to her and take care of her, but didn't always, would keep her from starving. And this is the crowd, and Jesus are showing up on this moment. And she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. So two crowds converge. Here's a nice little bit of, you know, teaching, if you will. The crowd. There's crowds always. What are they crowding around? What's the crowd about? Are you focusing on the crowd? Are you focusing on why there's a crowd? And finally, what crowd would you be in? Do you know that you could actually have both these crowds be the same? Crowds following Jesus can also be a crowd at a memorial service, at a funeral. In Jesus, we can celebrate life, and we can even welcome death. Listen to this. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Did anybody else have compassion today that you saw in the stories so far? God did, for sure. The centurion. He had compassion on somebody he owned. Highly valuable, not just from a financial standpoint. So he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Anybody married? Does anybody know where I'm going with this one? As a married man, there's often times where I'd say to Kathy, "Don't cry. Please stop crying." And then it transitions into, "What are you crying about? Why are you crying?" You know what? Because I want to fix it. Jesus is saying, "Don't weep," because he knows the end of the story. He's not trying to tell her, "Hey, knock it off. Put your big girl pants on and let's go." Then he came up and he touched, some people pronounce it beer, buyer, I'm going to say buyer. He touched that, which as a observant Jew would have made him ceremonially unclean. First thing, we've heard this before, Jesus touches. He's in the mess. He's with us, church. That's why healing is more than just, "Oh, my boo-boos went away. I got my king with me. I'm going to make it." And the bearers stood still. Did that guy just touch this thing? And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. Whew. Jesus stops funerals. Oh, Lord. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Listen to this commentary. Fear seized them all. Yeah. Oh, wow. and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us." Good start, right? Good, they're glorifying God. A great prophet has arisen among us. And God has visited his people. Better. That's actually what's going down. Do you need that today? Do you need to know that he visits his people? Do you need to know that he's present? He ought to be able to be trusted, even if your situation doesn't get a whole lot better. Let me say this to you. God visits his people and loves his people. You want me to get that? No. Sorry, I didn't know. That's embarrassing. I'm not going to say whose phone it was. I wasn't. Let it go. All right. Listen, Jesus is a great prophet, and he has arisen among us, but God has visited his people. He's here still. He loves us. He lives in his people. And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. We celebrated last week that Jesus lives. Would you celebrate with me today that Jesus loves? He is love. He wants you. He loves you. He will not leave you in your mess. He will take you out of it, maybe here and now, totally making things better, whole, complete, restoring all kinds of great stuff. But what he does first is that he restores your relationship with him, builds you up within, and you can spread that good news that God has visited his people. Let me be an example of that. Let me be a commercial. Let me be a show. Let me be a story of that and how I live. Even if I'm running with a limp. Even if I'm grieving the loss of a loved one. Even if the finances just do not go like I thought. Like they should. Even if I have medical debt. Even if I have a car that breaks down on my way to leading communion. Let me celebrate God's goodness, because he's good, always. What will you do with this good news? What will you do with this reality? Will you trust him? So, I know we have at least two wonderful people who are getting baptized. I'm going to have them come up. If there's anybody else that's in the crowd that decided and forgot to tell me, or just now, like, yeah, or Aaron, like, did you forget? I'm getting baptized. Come forth, dear brothers and sisters. So, we get that mic. They're going to come introduce themselves, share a little bit. Oh. Well, not anymore. He got passed off. So, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Here you go.
Oh,
hi, good morning. Good to see you. Would you tell us who you are?
Hi, my name's Mandy Nye. That's a Freudian slip.
Was that your maiden name?
Yeah, it was a maiden name.
Hey, it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. All right. She's
a I'm a Nye. Anyway, I'm Mandy Nye.
Excellent. And go ahead. You can introduce yourself.
And then I'm Patrick Nye.
Is that your maiden name as well?
I think.
Cool. Mandy, would you tell us, why are you getting baptized today?
I'm going to say a psalm.
Yes.
That is what I think was the last, like, smack against the head I needed, as he laughs at me.
Lovingly, of course.
Lovingly, mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of these ladies went to the IF retreat back in October, and I can't remember who the teacher was, but she taught Psalm 91, and she says, Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Lord Almighty." And the focus was the word dwells and dwells in. And she just made these statements about, why are you dwelling on God? Why don't you choose to dwell in him, like the Bible says? And something clicked that day, and it was like, yes, Lord, you are my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. I choose to dwell in you, and that is why.
And praise God. Praise God. That's so good. Patrick, how about you? Why get baptized today?
Well, a lot of it has to do with Mandy's journey in the last few months. I've been a believer for a long time. The Lord is my Savior and everything, but just watching her and just really thinking on it, and it's something that I've never done, and God was just putting it on my heart that I really need to do it.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we'll keep the mic with you, and then you can pass it back to your bride. Can you give us an example of a daily difference, a today type difference that Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, makes in your life?
I'd have to say it's really the presence of shalom. Just every day. Right now, I'm staying at home with our young son, and it can be a struggle sometimes, but there's just days where he's really fighting going to sleep a lot and stuff, or just whatever, and I'll just pray and talk to God, and it just there's a peace about it. A few weeks ago, he was being really fussy, for example, and I actually called Manny and I'm like, hey, you need to not stay and work late and get home early, because he's just been really fighting everything, and got off the phone with her, prayed, and he went down and slept for like 2 hours. He hadn't slept all day, so. Oh,
praise God. Thank you. So that shalom, that wholeness, right, and that peace with the Lord. Thanks, Patrick. Mandy, how about for you? Same question.
I would agree with just the overall peace that, comes onto your life, giving it all to the Lord, and you know that there's anything that comes to you, if you build your life on his firm foundation, you can withstand any flood, like we just learned last week. So it's just a beautiful feeling of safety and peace, and just words that are unexplainable, and that's why.
That's it. But for both of you, it's even in the presence of difficulty and pain, and you know, brand new baby, trying to figure out life, trying to figure out what we're going to do for work and all those things. And so you're saying that that wholeness, that shalom, is still there even in the midst of all that chaos?
Yes. Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, anybody else? I don't want to make you lose your opportunity to be able to testify in front of everybody. You're like, that's the part I'm waiting on, bro. All right, cool. So we're going to get you into the water. We're going to baptize you. I'm super blessed. You're new, dear friends to me, brother and sister in Christ. Love you guys, and I'm so grateful I get to be a part of this. Can I pray with you right now? Would you guys stand, please? We'll all pray. Go ahead. Well, I'll get right over here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your shalom. We thank you, Jesus, for calling us not to just know about you, not just dwell on you, but to dwell in you. To not just be obedient when it's convenient, but to be obedient out of love, and love doesn't have that time limit. And so may we be people who would learn, like Patrick and Mandy, how to love you, how to live for you, because you loved us first. You're awesome, Jesus, and we thank you for this day. In your perfect name, amen.